Shalom Aleichem and BFF Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Sanhedrin Sadi Gimel, Sanhedrin 93a, pagination is 185. We're going to be starting on the bottom of the facing page, one line up, Tani Divei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And in order to do this Gemara smoothly, I'd like to do a quick overview of Perek Gimel, the third chapter in the book of Daniel. Our topic in the Gemara is the showdown between Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and the righteous Jews, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these three Jews who refused to bow to the icon that Nebuchadnezzar set up for all the nations of the world to bow to. They considered it akin to idol worship, and they refused to bow. If you'd like, you can take out a Daniel, English or Hebrew, and follow along a basic overview of chapter 3, and then we will do the Gemara. The Perek begins. Verse 1, Pasuk Aleph. Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Nebuchadnezzar the king, Avad Salem did have. He made an icon of gold, and he wants everybody to bow to it. The end of Pasuk Beis, verse 2, L'meisei l'chanukas tzalmo, everybody should come to the inauguration of this icon, T'yakim Nebuchadnezzar Malka, that Nebuchadnezzar the king has put up. In Pasuk Hei, verse 5, Tiplun v'siskidun l'tzalem davo, he wants everybody to bow to this icon that he set up. And in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Yisrime ligo'ata nura yakidita, anybody who doesn't listen shall be thrown into a fiery furnace. The general population bowed. However, it was reported to the king, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Va'achalu kartzeyon di Yehudayei, they spoke badly, they reported about the Jews that they had evaded. The three Jews designated to represent the Jewish people had evaded the bowing procedure. They had avoided it. And by sidestepping it, it was taken as a great disrespect. Pasuk Yud Beis, they reported, verse 12, Letzelem Davod Yakem to Losogdin, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not bow as was Nebuchadnezzar's orders. And so, they're called to task, and in Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Ano Shadrach, Meshach, Va'avadnego, these three people with their royal names are recorded as responding. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Elokono di'anachna polchin yachal l'shevosana, the God to whom we bow could save us min ata nura yakidita, from your great fire. And so Nebuchadnezzar directs them, Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, L'mirme la'ata nura yakidita, to throw them in to the fiery furnace. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which is something that the Gemara comments on, these three tzaddikim remained dressed in their prestigious garments. They did not become depressed over the situation. They remained with faith. And so they were tied and thrown into the furnace. And at the end of Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, the report is given, Yatziva Malka, the words of the king have been done. Nebuchadnezzar takes a look at what happened, Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, and he reports that he sees four people walking comfortably in the fire, untouched, unscathed, by the heat, which was quite extreme. The description is, it was heated up sevenfold of what it normally was. V'chaval lo isay bahon. There's no damage befalling them. And the image of the fourth is like an angel joining them in the fire. And so Nebuchadnezzar gives the directive in verse 26, Chavav, puku ve'eso, come out, ve'edayin nafkin. And so they came out. Rashi and Daniel comments that until he gave the order to come out, they didn't come out because they didn't want to be mezalzel b'malchus, to disgrace the king. We found this by Moshe and Paro. You have to honor the king, even a wicked king. You have to honor, and they wouldn't come out without permission. Finally, in Pasuk Chaf Ches, Nebuchadnezzar responds, verse 28, Va'omar, he says, Berich Elokahon, Dishadrach, Meshech, Va'aved Nego, blessed is the king of these three, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that clearly he sent his angel to protect them. That's the section in Daniel. Let's look at our Gemara. Tana Devei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, afilu b'shas ha-sakona, even in a time of danger, lo yishana adam es atzma min ha-rabanus shalo, a person should not change from his normal methodology of prestige. My mother once told me that she has a recollection as a child of a fire alarm that went off in an apartment building in Manhattan, Washington Heights, in middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning, and everybody had to evacuate. It wasn't an imminent emergency, but it was clear everybody had to get out. And she has this recollection that there was a certain prestigious Jew who lived in the building, and when he emerged with his tie, his jacket, his hat, calm. And that, to me, is a description. B'shasa sakona, if it's an imminent danger, obviously everything is overruled by an imminent danger if it'll save a life. But if it has nothing to do with saving lives, it has to do with whether you're frazzled or not. So a person should make an effort not to get frazzled in the face of a concern, as great as it may be. We move on to today's daf on the fourth line. Amar Rav Tanchum Bar Chani Lo'i. Rav Tanchum Bar Chani Lo'i taught, B'shah Sheyotzo Hananiah Mishael Va'Azariah Mikiv Shenu Eish, at the time that these three left the fiery furnace, Ba'u Kal Umos Ha'olam, the nations of the world came, V'tafchu L'Soneim Shal Yisrael Al Paneim, and they slapped the Jews on their faces. Doesn't mean literally, necessarily at all, but they slapped them in their faces, meaning with disregard. Amru lohem, they said to the Jews, Yesh lochem eloka kozeh, you have a God like this that can save you, ve'atem mishtachavim latzalem, and among you there were people who did bow to the icon. If you could pull a stunt like that off, why didn't you all do that? I recall a story Rabbi Wein shared with us that when he was in law school, there was a specific course that he kept avoiding because it kept being given on Friday, and he was concerned that it would run into a time too close to Shabbos to get back to his house. He finally needed to take the course, so he went to the professor and explained that he's going to have to leave the class a little bit early to get home for Shabbos preparations. And the professor said, okay. So it comes the first Friday, and Rabbi Wein quietly picks up his books and starts walking out and is making every effort not to disrupt the class. And the professor notices him approaching the door to leave and goes, ahem. And Rabbi Wein starts explaining, excuse me, but we discussed this before the class, and I said, Shabbos preparation. And he goes, ahem. And Rabbi Wein tries again. What do you want? And the professor said, I'm not trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get the attention of the other Jews in the class. Why aren't they also leaving for Shabbos preparations? And that's this expression in the Gemara that after Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were able to pull this off, so it reflected badly on the other Jews. Tafchu, it's as if they were slapped in the face with disregard by the nations of the world who saw what happened and are astounded. It would be nice to say all's well that ends well and everything is simple. They were victorious against Nebuchadnezzar by standing their ground, their allegiance to Hashem. However, miracles sometimes come with baggage. On the fourth line of the wides, V'rabbanan Lehecha Ozlu, what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the Gemara asks, and we have different views, all of them indicating that they could not stay where they were, being admired by everybody for the miracle that so wondrously occurred. Amar Rav, Rav said, Ba'ayin haramesu, they died from the evil eye that was caused because everyone is admiring them, and that's an ayin hara, and they weren't able to survive after that, even though they survived the showdown, but ultimately it didn't continue. They weren't able to sustain the victory in terms of living further. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Barok Tavu, they drowned in the spit of the people. So the Marsha says it's a davar zor. What a very strange comment. What does it mean they drowned in the spit? He says, even if we say that the non-Jewish public were spitting at the Jews, that they didn't make the same Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name, but then why would Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah drown in the spit? It was the other people who were being spit out. It's a davar zor. It's very strange. And the Marsha says that it's to be taken in the style of Agada talk, where they were spitting at the general Jewish public for not sanctifying Hashem's name the way Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did. And therefore, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah died so that they should not be a standing disgrace to the Jewish people, that they didn't live up to that same standard. A little bit like Yonah didn't want the tshuva of Nineveh because it would reflect badly on the Jewish people. So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are reflecting badly, and from that spit of disrespect, they had to die. They had to remove themselves from the scene. The most benevolent of the three opinions, though, is Rabbi Yochanan. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Alu le'Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael. V'nasu nashim. They married. V'olidu banim uvanos. And they had sons and daughters. And also, they couldn't remain present in the place of the miracle because it reflected badly on the other Jews who did not live up to the same standard. Yashar Koach. Thank you for joining.